We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. One but the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7. The game with a twist. You can follow along if you want to watch all the nonsense. 957thegame.com. It's great to see you. Maybe we'll get Lowe dressed up like a sumo wrestler in honor of that story he was nice enough
to
tell a few minutes ago.
That's how fat you guys say I look and how bad
and no
you
one
guys
say.
What was your analogy about the paint? That was
Michelangelo's David was, turned into Michelangelo's Dave. Because Joe was talking about the melted marble, and I took it too far.
You did. Now you did cross the line.
It was like if Michelangelo just wasn't as precise. Nah. He just didn't really work as hard to chisel.
Leave it alone, Joe.
The marble.
Now I got to cut you.
Where's that in the good book? Chill Not a Body text line 95795. If you'd like to follow along, Dante Whitner, the 11-year veteran, set to join us at 9:30. What does he think of the Niners secondary heading into the season? Do we have a highlight we could play? I'm sure there were thousands that occurred yesterday in Denver, Colorado. Let's start this segment right here.
High drive to right. It is out of here.
Stay hot, Brandon Crawford.
Back to back, 2-0.
It's only his third home run of the day. Giants fans love it.
Shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Game one, the Giants throttled the Rockies 19-2. Game two, the Giants got one out against the Rockies 2-1. It's their first doubleheader sweep since the year of our Lord, 2012. The Giants have now won 10 of their last 12, during which time they've outscored the opposition by 50 runs. They are plus 50 in run differential over these last 12 games, in which they're averaging 8 runs per game. I know you can get hot for a few minutes. Based on the way the season started, I did not envision a scenario in which they would get this explosive for this duration of time.
No, and there were so many superlatives thrown out after yesterday's explosion with the 19 runs. I think 19 runs was just one run more than the total that they had in their first homestand. So that gives you some perspective.
Jeez. Over good pull.
It's both sides of it. I think Grant Brisby had that first on Twitter, so I want to give him partial credit.
Shout it out.
Ballpark credit. It's two-sided for me. On the one hand, 19 runs, they were so incredibly torrid yesterday, but it also underscores your point about what we thought this offense was at the beginning of the year. They were beyond putrid, and it's not to put it all on Michael Reed and Connor Joe, but what Farhan Zaidi's done with this roster, with the churn from the bottom. It's kind of what you do with your compost pile where you put your stuff on top, but in order for the compost to work, you got to churn it. You got to get the bottom and put it on the top so that it starts to all settle in and mix together. And
especially
that's
when
what
you cover it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's a nice visual. Thank you.
And that's
nice.
The way it works. And you know, we're big composters at our house. We try not to throw a lot in the garbage. We try to reuse what we can. And that's what Farhan's doing with this team. It's not a complete rebuild until you churn the compost pile, which is what he did with Reed and Connor Joe and now Donovan Solano and the rest.
Only in the Bay Area would someone ever make that analogy.
Yeah,
that
dude. They're hot, bro.
Do you think they make that analogy in like Pittsburgh in the middle of the Steelers season?
It's like when you make the cheesesteak. You got to put the bread down first.
See, exactly like that. It's like the clam chowder.
Totally.
No, but it's an apt analogy. It really is. I mean, credit to Bochy here. It's obviously very easy to do this, but you look at where they started, as Zibs was talking about. You look at where they are. It's easy in a locker room with lesser leadership to just kind of let it get away from you, right? Sometimes you breed this culture of losing. Look at the Marlins. It's like, how do you get excited about playing baseball when you know your best guys are just going to be sold off to win MVPs elsewhere? There are teams that just can't get it right. This is a team that's had a lot of success. They're going through a down period, but somehow, some way, they have not given up on the season. With every intention, with every opportunity to give up, they're showing up and they're just playing some really great baseball
now. They are. They really are. And you alluded to that they're white hot right now. When you're getting that barbecue and you know you got your charcoals on there, you don't throw that meat on until you get those coals in there and just turn white. That means they're cooking. And right now, 19 runs, you're friggin' cooking. They're white hot. They're lighting it up. You saw Brandon Crawford, not one, not two, but three homers. I mean, this guy is—he's getting—he's on fire. You know, he's got 11. I just want this team to stay, continue to be competitive, and that's what a lot of the fans like to see. They want to be entertained. They want to be to have a team that's competitive. And what the Giants has been able to do these last couple of weeks before this All-Star break, they have been very, very competitive and outscoring everyone. The run differential is through the roof, and what they've been able to do. It's been amazing. It has been amazing.
It's kind of like an acai bowl where they put the acai in first, and then on top of it are the flaxseed and the banana pieces
Granolas,
and all the healthy stuff. And you gotta mix it all up. You gotta bring the acai from the bottom up to give yourself proportionate bites every time you take it.
Sure.
Right? Going along with the analogies that everyone's throwing out
great.
There. Low with barbecue, you with compost, me with the acai bowl.
You said, let me get in this.
As soon as you started, I'm like, I'm not going to be left out of this.
No.
I'm going to come up with something.
And that's great. And you look at the acai bowl. If you ate just each individual part, it wouldn't be as good as if you mixed it together.
Who just wants a banana?
No, thank you. If I wanted a banana, I'll have a banana.
Right.
But you look at this Giants team, and you go back 2 or 3 weeks, and you start to see the makings of a team that is enjoying playing for each other. Guys are hitting home runs, and you're going to the dugout, and there's little celebrations, and there's breakout moments. You got a team that looks to be unified, looks like they're enjoying playing with each other and for each other, and over 162 games, that matters for something.
It does, but let's not get carried away. The team's still in last place in the West, you know? I know you talk about Blink, and they could be in third or second, and I'm blinking.
Shout out Malcolm Gladwell, Blink.
Yeah, and they're still not. I know that you have some optimistic that they're going to get to the wild card spot. I understand that, Daniel. I still don't see it. I know they're playing well, but I don't see that happening. So I think we got.
You're about to go Obama there?
Thanks, Obama.
I was queuing it up.
I was ready for it.
Touch it and move. Keep touching and move.
It's been a good run, but you do it in forward increments. It's so great when you do your Obama.
You guys got a lot of the presidents covered. He does his Obama. You got Reagan.
Well. It's a one-word Reagan, but it's here for you. Just think about this, Joe.
How do we not have a Bill Clinton on staff?
My Clinton's half-hearted. It's not good enough.
I did not have relations with that woman.
That's not bad. Not bad.
Well, I got to tell you, Arkansas, thanks for coming out.
That's not bad either.
That's good.
What a score that one. It's impressive.
Really, really low bar set in order to get an applause on that one.
Let's get to it.
Speaking of a low bar, if I may, if I told you that they acquired Mike Yastrzemski by trading Tyler Herb, you would say, oh, I remember that.
It's an unfortunate last name.
Alex Dickerson was acquired by trading Franklin Van Gerp. All we've seen for
Why do you emphasize the P so much in that?
Franklin Van Gerp. It's the Gerper. Win one
you
for the Gerper.
You pop that P every time you say that
name.
You gotta
pop the P. It underscores, I think, what Farhan Zaidi is doing with this roster. You started the year with guys that you thought you hoped might be something they weren't, and he immediately set about making all these trades. Every single day, I'm sure you get it on your phone, it's a buzz from either Megan Brown or Mr. Passanisi from the Giants or Ryan Chisholm telling you about a transaction.
Shout out everybody down there.
I can scroll through my phone right now and read off the last 80 transactions that Farhan made over the past 2 months, but it just shows you what he's done with this roster. You haven't moved off of any of the big, we'll call them the big eight, including Melanson because his contract, but, Samardzija and all those other guys, Crawford, Belt, etc. They're all still here, but what he's done with the bottom of the roster has made the product competitive.
Three games back of the second wild card. Let's do an assessment right now. What is the absolute ceiling for this team this year? What is the absolute ceiling? What is the best case scenario from this point forward for this baseball team?
World Series champions.
Realistically, realistically, is that the ceiling? Like, realistically, that's the ceiling for the Dodgers, for the Yankees. There are some other teams in there. Do you believe that realistically is the ceiling for this team? That somehow maybe there's enough magic where they could do that run?
I think it's a slim. It's
super higher than
slim.
3%.
Oh, no, lower.
Okay.
It's lower. But if you're talking about the ceiling, it's a vaulted ceiling. It's way up there. You can barely see it. It's kind of like the Space Needle where the point of the top is so ultra thin. It's not much of a ceiling at all.
We're getting out of control with the analogies and the examples here.
And I'll try to dial it back.
Please. No one said that.
Realistically, second wild card would probably be the ultimate ceiling.
Okay. Okay, that's
because
not bad.
Because you're only three games out, and honestly, you don't have to necessarily play 700% ball the rest of the way or 700 ball to get there because you're only three out. So that to me would be honestly the ceiling.
What do you see as the ceiling? A realistic ceiling. Obviously, there is a percentage chance they could win the World Series. I don't think many of us truly believe that. But what do you think the ceiling is for these guys?
I don't think this team will be four games over 500. That's my ceiling.
Okay.
I do not think when the dust clears at the end of the year, I'd be willing to hedge my bet that they won't be more than four over.
So that'd be 84 and 80.
Yeah.
84 and 80 is the ceiling.
Well, 84 and 78, because I don't think they're playing 164 this year.
How did I did the math in my head right before I said that, too. As he was talking, I'm like, here's the math. And then I went ahead and botched it anyway.
Oh, okay. It's ballpark. But, yeah, I'd
like to believe when it comes to things numbers. Like that, I could get those right. Yeah. There are certain things I'm okay being
ballpark,
close.
Man. Okay.
That's what the Major League Baseball final record should be something I'd be able to nail at this point.
Okay.
So yet, here we are.
Would you make that bet that four games over 500? You think they're going to?
I think they could do that. I'm not saying I'd bet that they will.
Right.
I'm saying that as you lay that out, that suddenly feels reasonable. Dibs laying out a ceiling of getting that second wild card spot, it feels reasonable. It's kind of a big jump in mindset based on where we were maybe a month or so ago. I mean, at the end of May, it was like, when does training camp open?
Right.
We just so brazenly assumed we'd get another parade with which we could throw eggs at to.
Hey, I was
not going to name the member of the staff.
People weren't going to throw eggs because I was going to spend four, not one, not two, not three, but four dimes on a great party for the
That RIP, that concept, that was the best.
That
you were going to open up a $4,000 bar tab for everyone to come drink if they won. And
exactly.
And it's the biggest letdown ever.
Right.
I was looking forward to that.
I bet you were, Daniel.
He was not even going to talk to anybody. I would imagine in that scenario, he bellies up as soon as that thing's opened. And he goes. He goes until his body either knocks him out itself or until the tab is done.
Oh, I would definitely
get him. And he'd push it.
But I'd have him a room. I would do it on a Friday for you could have a room, and I'd make sure you're taken care of. Tell misses to come make sure. So I would do that for you because I want you to get crazy.
Danny Kane had a song called Damaged, and I think that would be the approach I would take from a liver standpoint.
If he opened up a $4,000 bar tab and, you know, listeners were able to come and we were able to do this.
Yeah.
Would you really try to push it as hard as you could with that?
I would, first of all, we would start from the top shelf and we would head south. So we would get right to the, get
Louis
a nice 13. Reposado or, yeah, we'd get some.
Yeah, but you see, now in that situation, you're kind of taken away from everyone. If you're going to take up such a huge chunk of the bill on like one drink,
it devalues
what everyone else
can do.
You
wanted a Don Julio in 1944?
I think volume's fine. I think the high level of sophistication is probably a bit.
Why would you?
Joe,
dress?
You know I
you never do that.
Taste.
But you never do that. So all of a sudden,
a fine taste.
Right. All of a sudden, now you would change who you are. You never drinking the Louis and been ordering that. Have you ordered it?
I've had like the Louis the third, maybe not Louis the 14th.
What's the one that's super expensive?
The Louis the 13th.
Louis the 13th is what you put on like the rookie tab.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I've never had that.
That
but what is that? What's the actual alcohol of it? What is it?
It's a brandy, but it's friggin' $150 a
shot,
a glass, yeah,
like a glass is 150.
Yeah, it's just is a little. They put it in a little sifter. It's not in. It's
not.
Nice.
You ever had it?
Always have it, Coach. Right after I get my $5 footlong.
That's what.
Shout out Subway. I love your sandwiches.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a little bit more in my speed. You're talking about 83 wins.
Can that happen? Are you good with that?
If it does happen, if they get to 83 wins, that's a winning percentage of 512. Okay? You look at the St. Louis Cardinals right now, owners of the second wild card, their winning percentage is 511. So if you got to 83 wins, and that's obviously assuming that everyone stays at this level.
That's why I gave them that
somebody's
number.
Going to emerge from this pack, I think, and probably end up closer to 85, 86 wins. But if a giant team can get to 83, they're still in this race.
That's where I got you. That's my ceiling, though. Joe asked us the ceiling.
Yes,
that's,
of course.
That's my ceiling, though, Daniel. So, I mean, so you're expecting more than that. So I'm not.
Well, if they get to that ceiling, if they reach the 83 wins,
yes.
Maybe it's not enough for the second wild card, but it would put Bruce Bochy one win ahead of Leo Durocher, and it would put him into 10th all time.
I hope that happens.
How many wins required to get to that?
83 for the season, and he's sitting on...
83 for the season gets him to 10th all time outright.
Yes, he needs 29 to get to 2,000, and he needs 38 to pass Leo Durocher. So 38 plus 45 would be... 83.
Those should be the goals that are set. I hope those are the goals that they're trying to attain in there because the wild card may be out of reach. I think, honestly, what's going to end up happening here is that this is going to be a nice little run, may continue for a little while longer. The sell is coming. All right. Any trade piece you're looking at now, getting set for the trade deadline, Buster Olney, whoever it may be, the first focal piece is always Madison Bumgarner. Will Smith's going to be in high demand. You talk about the guys like Tony Watson. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to continue with the rebuild. Yeah. This is a nice run, but unfortunately what it is too little too late. So what happens is you sell the pieces off. I think then eventually you go through a little bit of a downturn. Maybe you balance it out, and then it's a fight to the finish to try to get Bochy to at least one, if not both, of these milestones. But I don't think there's enough on the roster, especially after the upcoming trades take place, to be able to get this team into a wild card. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay because that wasn't an expectation coming in.
No.
I think you want to send Bochy off on the high note. You want there to be interest come September in terms of chasing that down, maybe a 500 record. And that's what's going to bring people to the park. Yeah. Last series of the season, you don't think you're going to have a lot of people turning up to stand up and applaud. You don't think they're going to bring back a bunch of old-timers. Guys who have been there, I'd like to see Timmy Lincecum come down there.
Me too. And if they continue to compete like they're doing, I think you're just going to put butts in the seats because you're becoming entertaining again. And I see you 209. We know it's Don Julio 1942. And also, yeah, we saw you at 510. Yeah, it's a Cognac, so we're good. Not a Pontiac.
It's a cognac. Cognac.
Coney Island act.
Our listeners among the billions with the finest tastes you can find.
Yeah, don't tell us how to drink. Okay. We're such good drinkers. One guy's already retired from it, and the other two, well.
Yeah, find me a paper bag, and I'll take care of whatever you have
little
to
brown
offer.
Bag, huh? Your
get
brown
some
bag.
Of that MD 2020 in here. Get me the pink, get me the orange, get me the purple.
Oh, bruh.
All that Cisco.
Shout out Ocean City, Maryland. Man, back in the day when we were in that Beggars Can't Be Choosers role, that Mad Dog 2020 shows up.
Hell yeah. I used to drink
problems.
I used to get that Old English and orange juice. And oh, my.
Ew, yeah, we talked about that once. You mix OE with orange juice. Have you ever heard of this before? He and I had a fight about this back in the day. Is that a thing?
Hit the text line 955. Did you heard of OJ and orange juice?
I've heard of beer and tomato juice, Clamato, which is equally disgusting in my opinion.
Oh, I'm going to throw up. I hate to be like,
we finally got him, son.
Divers, you feel good about
shout
yourself.
Out Patty and Selma, Marge's sisters from The Simpsons.
Joke, seriously, Dibs, look at Dibs, that really got to him.
My eyes are tearing up.
I know.
This is great.
I hate the idea of tomato juice.
Dibs, you got it.
He's going. No, it's not happening.
Look at the text. I'm watching. You better hurry up and get
him. Deep breath. I'm not puking.
You say tomato and I say tomato.
I'd be doing the same
thing. I can't blame him. Let's call the whole.
See, I don't mind tomato. Just tomato juice is disgusting.
Ooh,
absolutely
disgusting.
And you want to mix that with beer?
I've never seen this in all my years.
Oh, it's so gross.
I mean, he's actually going through it right
physically
now.
Physically ill.
And then you love this. Why are you enjoying
it? I just like it a lot. I don't know if I'm in love with it yet.
Have you mixed those two together before?
God, no, coach.
But people do it.
Yes, all my Minnesota relatives.
Yeah, red beer.
Ew, really?
Yeah. Dwayne, you got any Clamato? That's my grandma Vi right there. Rest
and
in peace.
You would mix beer with orange juice.
Yeah, Old English 800 and malt liquor. And
I'm familiar with it. I don't need all the details. I know it.
Joe, you get the tomato juice. You pour, have a couple shots for the homies, and then you pour a little of that tomato juice inside. Then pour a little of that orange juice inside there. And
could you imagine Obama actually telling people this?
It's great.
Get yourself an Old English, and you get yourself some tomato juice.
Thanks,
what
Obama.
Is Obama talking about?
You see the text line? OJ. You see the text line? OE and OJ.
OE and OJ.
They are on it. OJ.
Man.
No pun intended.
You people are nuts. In a beautiful way, but you're nuts.
Brass monkey.
Orange juice and beer.
Like, they love it.
But why?
Look at the text on. Go ask them. Look at it. They're blowing up.
Oh,
they
the brass
love,
monkey? Is that?
That's what they call that.
Gotcha. Okay.
They love the OJ. It was big. OJ and orange juice.
They do it with Mickey's, actually.
Mickey Big Mouse.
They drink down the beer down to the label, like down to the top of the label, and they'd fill the rest with orange juice. Then Beastie Boys made a song about it and popularized the beverage.
Out of curiosity, who's they? Who's the they you're speaking of?
Ooh.
Wait, which one? What?
When you say they drink it down to the label and then they fill it with orange juice, who's they?
The Beastie Boys. Mike D.
Just the Beastie Boys?
Just the Beastie Boys.
Me and my horsey in a quart of beer. The beer is getting flat.
Very well done.
What happened to this show today? It's like a mind meld. Oh,
Paul
man.
Revere. Awesome. Paul's Boutique, one of the great rap. Come on, coach.
Niners open 3-0. I'll drink some beer and tomato juice down at for the Cleveland game Monday night.
Oh, my God.
Mark the tape. Yeah, I'll do it.
Mark the tape.
I'll do it. They start 3-0 going into that game. You got to get nuts. look, that's the dream, the early dream scenario for some local football, especially there's the dream scenario for the Raiders too, coming off Hard Knocks. That's going to be very interesting. But the Niner dream scenario is if you find a way to go 3-0 to open the season, you can go to Tampa and win, you can go to Cincy and win, but if you win week three against Pittsburgh and hit the bye, and then Mayfield and the Browns turn out to be, they don't need to be great early, but if they look good early, if they look like what people are expecting, and they're coming in here for Monday night in week four, that's going to be something. That really is going to be something. I'll drink the beer and tomato juice.
I love it.
Now, what will happen is I will drink it, I will vomit, and then I will be done drinking it. But I'd assume at that point we're all content with the
results. And we will definitely
The listeners will definitely
show, let you know where we'll be to watch this if you guys want to. I know the text line's blown up. They want to see you do this because I definitely going to be there.
We'll bring out the social media team.
Absolutely.
We'll live stream it from Levi's.
They might have better things they need to do.
No.
I think maybe one of you can just hold your phone up and that'll be good enough. I don't need to know if the whole social media team needs to
May
be
I
there.
Refer you to such events as Agony of Defeat in which I had not one, not two,
not five, not six, not seven.
Seven cameras, eight cameras.
It was quite the production.
It was a paparazzi of... Toe Jam.
I don't think the World Series had that many cameras this past go-round.
You know what, though? You did a hell of a job.
I appreciate it, and so will Joe if the Niners start out 3-0. But it'll be covered by all angles.
I don't know. Boy.
Well, I was thinking about how gross it would be, and everyone's obviously getting a good laugh out of it. It's like, you know what? You start 3-0 going to that Monday night game, I'll gladly go down there, make a quick fool of myself, and then turn the attention to the Monday night game. I mean, that's big. That's... Two of the younger quarterbacks that are supposed to be up and coming. Yeah. Two of the teams that are supposed to be breaking through. Freddie Kitchens, Kyle Shanahan. There's a lot going on there. Plus, I keep bringing back the parallel of the whole idea that these are the two teams that have not produced a winning record since 2013. The only two teams that don't have a single winning record. A single season with a winning record.
The NFL set this up perfectly. They knew that the Niners, and they said, okay, Mayfield and you know, your boy will have an opportunity, him and Jimmy G. They both have an opportunity. This can be a great setup. That's why it's the Monday night game, because the Niners are going to be 3-0. They've seen it coming.
All right. Dante Whitner, the Hitman, he's going to join us next. We got plenty of stuff to talk about, specifically this secondary. How should they benefit this season with a revamped defensive line? All that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here is Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thank you, Joe. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Sonic Internet. The Giants took both games from the Rockies in yesterday's doubleheader, including a 19-2 beatdown in Game 1. Brandon Crawford set a record for a middle infielder with 8 RBIs. Buster Posey, Mike Yastrzemski, and Stephen Vogt got some home runs for themselves. They continue the series in Colorado as they won 8 of their last 10, while the A's hope to build on their sweep over the White Sox for the 2-game homestand against the Mariners. And NFL Insiders Week rolls on here at 95.7 The Game as Jerry Rice joined the show earlier as our NFL Insider to talk about his expectations for the 49ers.
You know, we got the pieces of the puzzle. I think this is the year for the San Francisco 49ers. If we go 8-8, that's a great season, but, you know, I'm sure their expectations are higher than that.
Now, former 49ers head coach Steve Mariucci will join Bonte, Steine, and Guru at 1 o'clock, while Damon introduces us a surprise 95 NFL Insider at 5 o'clock. Coming up, Joe Lowe and Divs will be joined by former 49er, now Niners analyst, Dante Whitner next. I'm Stephen Langford on the morning's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Morning's number one sports station.
Remember that sound? Sonic does. From dial-up to gigabit fiber internet, Sonic's been your local, lovable internet provider for 25 years. Like the sound of that? Sign up today at sonic.com/lovable.
Today, 95.7 The Game is loaded with top-notch guests.
And here we go.
Former 49ers safety Dante Whitner gets you ready for training camp at 9:30.
Oh, yeah!
Former Niners head coach Steve Mariucci joins Vontae, Steine, and Guru at 1. And we've got a huge NFL Insider announcement on the Damon Bruce Show.
Oh, my God!
Make sure you're listening at 5 as Damon makes the big reveal on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. Of course, we tell you about the great services courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line, because we go to the Dial Pad guest line right now. 11-year veteran, Pro Bowler, former San Francisco 49er safety. You can catch him now as a 49er analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. Dante Whitner, kind enough to join Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Dante, thanks for your time. How's the summer been treating you?
It's been treating me well. I'm in Miami, Florida right now, so, you know, things are great.
Ooh, now, can we ask, what are you doing down in Miami?
Man.
Well, I have a place in Miami. I've actually had a place here for like 10 years. So, you know, I'm just here when I'm not working there or I wasn't playing. So this is my home away from home.
So, a.k.a. you living your best life, huh? I ain't mad at you, Hitman.
Beautiful. Dante Whitner with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. All right. I think we are 10 days from Niners reporting to training camp, 11 days from the first practice. Let's start with this. Number two overall pick, Nick Bosa. He's not signed yet. He's one of, I believe, five or six first-rounders still not signed. Are you at all concerned about that as we approach the start of training camp?
Not at all. You know, when those guys go in the top five, top 10, they're already slotted to make a certain amount based off of what last year's guy made. So I don't see there be any problem. He just needs to get there. He needs to get to work with the guys so he can add to this pressure and make this defense a lot better.
How much is the secondary going to rely on Bosa being healthy and DeForest Buckner taking the next step and really watching that front be more impactful this year? Is that the ultimate key to the secondary playing better and getting more takeaways this year?
Well, that's the ultimate goal, to winning and playing championship defense, is that pressure up front, is being able to stop the run and then apply constant pressure to the quarterback position. And not only just get to the quarterback and sack him, but make him make mistakes and make errant throws and bad decisions. So if they can have, you know, they signed a lot of guys this year. They have, you know, on paper, one of the best defensive lines in the National Football League. You know, every defensive back and unit depends on that front. So if they can get constant pressure, those guys don't have to cover as long, and they can make some plays on the football.
No question, Hitman. I totally 1,000% agree with you. If there was a number that you would want this defense to keep teams under in order for this team to get 8 or more wins, what would you say this defense is capable of holding teams to?
It's always 17 points or less. If you can hold a team to under 17 points, you can win football games in the National Football League. That was always our standard in San Francisco when I was there playing. With Vic Fangio and that defensive staff and that unit, we always wanted to hold our opponent to 17 points or less. We wanted to win the turnover margin by plus two, and we wanted to stop the run. We didn't want to give over over 90 yards. If you can do those things on the defensive side of football week in and week out, you can make it to the playoffs.
Expectations in terms of record. If I'm a 49er fan and I've spent the last few years struggling through the team as they try to figure out the best course of direction, what should I be expecting from them this season?
Well, you should be expecting around 10 wins. They better get around 10 wins and make a playoff push. The third year with everybody being together from the front office to the coaching staff and the players, they have all of their guys in. They have their quarterback that they want. They've had three draft classes. I think everybody agrees that it's time to win some football games. In that third year, you have to show major improvement.
Depending on how it looks, if it isn't a team that goes out and gets 10, if they don't get 8, maybe they end up with 6, how patient do you think the organization will be with Shanahan and Lynch, because you understand continuity is so important in this game, yet you got to have the right people in place. How challenging will that be for Jed York to make that call?
Yeah, continuity is very important in the game, but also with wins. I don't care how long you keep keep a bunch of players or coaches together. If you're not winning, then you have to scrap it and you have to start all over. And that's with any organization, that's with any group of coaches and players. So they have to go out there and win. There's no more, we have a great locker room. There's no more, you know, we almost did it. You have to go out and do it. You have to seize the moment, win the football games, and make a playoff push.
Hitman, when you think about this team and the organization, John Lynch, I look at it as he's, if you're putting it like a restaurant, he's the guy that owns it. And Shanahan is the head, you know, the head chef. The players are the talent. He's got to make it work. How much is the cupboards bare, or do you look at this team and say they have enough? John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has enough talent to be very, very competitive.
Yeah, and I would say John Lynch is the owner of the restaurant. Kyle Shanahan is the manager, and the players are the employees. So if everybody don't do their job, then the business goes, and everybody goes, and then you know, we have to go bankrupt. And that's the type of analogy I'm going to use. They have enough talent. You know, they have the offense. Kyle Shanahan can move the ball with the best of them and score points with the best of them, especially when he has his number one quarterback and all his weapons healthy. They're going to be able to score points. I think it's going to boil down to the defensive side of the football. Those guys coming and putting on their big boy pads and evolving into grown men on the football field. And when I say evolving into a grown man on the football field, I mean those times when you might get dinged a little bit or you might be sore or you might be hurt, those practices and those games when you don't really want to put your best foot forward and you just want to ease your way through, that's not the way that winning football teams attack football games. I can precisely remember being out on the football field with the New England Patriots, and, you know, sometimes in Buffalo or even in San Francisco, you play them, those guys will come out and punch you in the mouth from the first play of the game. It was no easing into the football game with those guys, and that's what they have to do in San Francisco. Put on your big boy pass, step into each and every football game, understand the situations, and go out there and play big boy football and win football games.
Dante Whitner joining us here on 95.7 The Game. How do you think the rest of the NFC West stacks up? New coach and quarterback in Arizona. Seattle going through a bit of a transitional phase, but they've still got Russell Wilson. Rams coming off a Super Bowl appearance. Is it a more vulnerable NFC West or is it a tougher NFC West?
I think it's a tougher NFC West, especially when you have Seattle and Pete Carroll. He's going to retool. He's going to replace individuals, and they're going to develop their players like they've always done. They're going to keep the same defensive system, the same principles, and they're going to preach the entire thing. And as long as you have Russell Wilson back there, he can make anything happen. It's always tough to play up there. You have to play up there once a year. I think with the L.A. Rams, they have so much talent, especially on the defensive side of football, offensive side of football, they can score points with the best of them. You know, I think that they're going to be competing for the NFC West title. And then you have the Arizona Cardinals. That's the wild card. You don't really know what they're going to offer. They have a new quarterback, a guy that can move the pocket, that can get out of the pocket. That's always dangerous. And if you have a guy that can make plays like that, you don't know what can happen. So I think the NFC West has got a lot tougher.
Richard Sherman is going to be in his second year in the program. How much does that impact the younger guys in the team, having a veteran not only there for one season but back for a second year?
Well, I don't think not only him being back for a second year, I think it's him being 100% healthy. And even though he played well last year, he wasn't tested a whole lot on this side of the football. He showed great technique and showed great fire. Even under distress and under depressed conditions when you're losing, he still took the football field and played, but he wasn't 100%. I believe he'll be 100% off that Achilles this year. He'll be able to lead. He'll be able to teach the guys on that defense side of football the small nuances of how to make plays and where you're supposed to be in all situations in that cover three. So I think it's great that he's returned and he'll be healthy.
Hey, man, I know that offense and defense, they both have to complement one another, and special teams plays a big part as well. And you don't, you know, you say, wow, which side of the ball is going to have to play the biggest? In your opinion, which side of the ball, in your opinion, is the best, has the most talent, has the most, you know, that you think that's going to play the bigger role?
I think the offensive side of the ball, not only because of talent, is because of deception, because of what Kyle Shanahan does and what he's looking at all week on film. He's looking for the undisciplined defensive football players, individuals and units. So if you're undisciplined on that side of football with your eyes, with your movements, reading your keys, he's going to find a way to take advantage of you. And that's the beauty within his offense. And that's why he's a mastermind on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't think it necessarily boils down to the individual talent. I think it boils down to the coaching and putting the guys in the best position to make the play.
Pro Bowler, 11-year veteran, and former San Francisco 49ers safety. You can catch him now as a terrific 49er analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. Dante Whitner from Miami joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hitman, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We look forward to catching up again soon.
For sure. You guys have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. That is now two guests who have come on and specifically said this team needs to hit 10 wins. Two. And neither one of them, and I, which one was it yesterday that came on that said that?
Baldy
came on and said it. So neither guy
not
known
even
for
blinking.
Trying
not even
to troll,
no.
Trying to hot take, trying to just throw stuff against the wall to get noticed.
Yeah.
Whitner, straight shooter. Baldy, straight shooter. Both have said 10. Are we setting it too low?
I know these guys.
I'm starting to feel like it.
Are you starting to come? You know what I mean? When you look at just the talent, what makes you pause? I think the one thing that, to your point, that I like, the one thing that you keep talking about that kind of made me hesitant, I think 8 is a baseline. I've been saying that they're going to win 8. That is a baseline. That 9 to 10, I wouldn't be surprised. But the biggest thing that you always say to me, and I'm like, wow, that's the one. Can they win on the road?
Is that your biggest ordeal when you talk? Because I think this team has a plethora of talent.
I think it's 1 and 1A for me, Lo. Number one is the road situation because you were 0-8 on the road. You didn't beat Arizona, but you lost 8 road games. That's a problem. The other one for me is the injury question marks because you have so many guys who have injury question marks around them. It's the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, coming back from injury. Jet McKinnon, coming back from injury. Quan Alexander, Jason Verrett. And I know Verrett's not going to be a key piece in the secondary, but he's a piece. And if you start to see these guys not coming back at 100%, then I've got question marks that might surround this team and their ability to get there. I thought it was interesting what Dante Whitner said about the mentality under Vic Fangio and how they wanted to hold teams under 17 points. So I just took a quick look, Joe, and I don't know if you're up for a little trivia exercise here.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get some data on your road record to give you as a follow-up, but yes, I am up for trivia always.
So 5 teams last year allowed fewer than 20 points a game defensively. So that's a total of 320 points allowed over 16 games. Because I was looking at that 17.
The Bears.
I was looking at that 17-point mark. Let me set it up first. And I was trying to see if any team.
Yeah, let them set it up.
I was trying to see if any team averaged 17 points a game allowed last year. And in fact, you are correct. One of the 5 to average less than 20 points a game given up is Chicago. Who are the other 4?
I kind of want to say the first 2 that popped into my mind were Baltimore and the Rams. But the Rams got into some shootouts there. They got into a big-time shootout with Kansas City.
Season teams who allowed fewer than 320 points total.
Buffalo was the number 2 overall defense, but in scoring, they still gave up about 23 per game.
Yeah, Baltimore's got to be in there.
Let's go with Baltimore as one of them.
Baltimore is number 2. They allowed 287 total points. The Bears allowed 283. Baltimore allowed 287. There are 3 other teams that allowed fewer than 320 total points.
Yeah, you know what?
This was an average. That puts it at an average of 17 points per game, like right around
no,
there.
Under
less than 20.
Yeah, because I was trying to see if any team allowed just 17, and the Bears allowed 17.6. They were the best in football.
Yeah, the team that you didn't play offense great, Joe, but their defense was always there, the Texans. You think about their.
I almost want to say Jacksonville too. I know they had a tougher season defensively. I think they were solid. I'll ride with you on the Texans. I'm iffy on it, but I'll back you. I'll back you. Texans.
Yeah, they allowed 316
points. That's a good call.
Tied for 4th fewest in the National Football League.
I would not have gotten that on my own. Very nicely done.
You've gotten Chicago. You've gotten Baltimore. You've gotten Houston, you guessed?
Houston.
There are 2 others, teams that allowed fewer than 20 per game.
Do we get more than 1 miss?
Yeah, we'll give you 2 misses.
Can we go with Jacksonville?
Go with, yeah.
Jacksonville.
Yes. Jacksonville also allowed.
I thought I had talked about that recently.
They also allowed 316 points, similar to Houston. You've got Chicago, you got Houston, you got Baltimore. You got Jacksonville. There's 1 team you're missing.
Quick side note, AFC South, no joke this year. AFC South is going to be the most competitive division in football. I wonder about Cleveland, but I think it might be too much too soon. The Rams, Seattle. Who are the other defenses? I don't think it's anyone in the East. I kind of want to say the Eagles, but I'm not sure. They stunk early in the season.
San Diego played good. LA
Chargers
LA
played very good defense.
The Lions played decent defense. The Vikings.
What?
They didn't give up. They were. Yeah, the Lions.
What?
Vikings had decent defense. Chargers. Dallas didn't give up a lot, did they? They were right there.
Damn, back in the day, I would have just knocked these out of the park. And now it's such a grind.
Blame it on the kids, coach. Your brain's
what are you
worried
thinking?
About other things.
What are you feeling? Because eventually we got to put a bow on this thing. So what do you think?
We get
2 more guesses, we'll say. So you didn't mention them once. Now all of a sudden you want to bring them into play? No, they're out. How about this? We're going to guess one of the teams that's out, the Saints. The Saints are in?
No. Oh, you're guessing one of the teams that's out?
Yes, if you had been paying attention, that's literally what I said to you.
You don't get to anti-guess.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
He did.
There we go.
I just wanted to. It was meant to shoot him down, and instead you shot yourself in the foot.
Yes.
They just Plaxico burst yourself.
353. They're not even close, coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd you just all of a sudden bring them in?
Crazy.
All right. Chargers, Seahawks, Rams. I don't know about the Rams. Chargers, Seahawks. What are you thinking? You want pick one? I'll side with you. You pulled the Texans.
I've been guessing. So I mean,
both been guessing.
Yeah.
I think we've equally gotten 2 apiece.
You've done great so far. 1 team to go. One team that allowed fewer than 320 total points last year.
Chargers. Damn. All right, you can take the other guess.
Okay. The Vikings.
The Chargers allowed, by the way, 329, so that was close, but no cigar. The Vikings allowed 341. The correct answer, the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, never would have gotten it.
Yeah. And again,
should have gotten it too.
AFC South.
Yeah.
So you got the three great defenses, and then you've got maybe the best quarterback going into this National Football League season.
Definitely would not have gotten that. I could have had, you could have given me 10 more. I probably don't get that.
They gave up 303. That's the third fewest in the NFL. Bears, Ravens, Titans, Texans, and Jaguars. The Cowboys and Patriots just missed out, averaging slightly over 20.
See, I thought the Cowboys were in there. I was like, yeah, because Dallas, I mean, he didn't do anything, but their defense would get after you. Grady and those cats, their defense was pretty stellar, so I was thinking that.
You mentioned earlier, and you mentioned this quite a bit, and it's legitimate, the concern about the fact that the Niners have been a very poor road team, 0-8 last year. Just quickly, like the smallest possible sample size, I wanted to go back and just kind of get an idea of some really bad road teams and how quickly they may have turned it around. First two that popped up, so I went back two seasons ago, Cleveland went 0-8 on the road. They were 0-16 for the season. Came back last year to go 2-6 on the road, so not a big jump. 2 years ago, the Colts went 1-7 on the road. Now, again, Luck was injured, much like Garoppolo, but Luck comes back, and last season, Indianapolis went 4-4 on the road. So maybe the type of thing we aim for here is if it's 0-8 on the road last year, bad road team, maybe aim 3-5, and then you've got to defend Levi's.
See, that to me is where it gets sticky when we talk about 10 wins, because 3-5 I think is very reasonable on the road, and then you're looking at 7-1 at home. That's beating either Seattle, the Rams, or Arizona. It's beating Pittsburgh. It's beating Green Bay. There's a lot of tough teams coming in, and you're beating all but one of them. I think that you're asking a lot out of that team at Levi's, and especially when you think about that field. It's not
you could open 2-0 on the road. You could beat Tampa and Cincinnati, be 2-0 on the road to open the year.
Absolutely.
You sure could, and hopefully they then beat Pittsburgh, and we get to see you drink some tomato juice and beer.
Yeah.
Because that's now on the hook.
Yeah.
You got me excited all of a sudden for this Niners.
You shouldn't have jumped in that one, because they're going to beat Tampa. And sure as Monday come after Sunday, they're going to beat the Bengals.
I cannot believe we keep having reasonable NFL minds on that keep saying 10 wins has got to be the expectation. Widner said it so matter of fact. He's like, 10 wins. It should be. This is the third year of everybody. What more do you need? It's like, damn, yeah. Maybe we've been making too many excuses. But I look at the back end of that schedule. Again, it's tough to get over. All right, Bet 162, update, won the first half of the doubleheader yesterday. First time all season. Back Jeff Samardzija, won at plus 180. Got a little too aggressive, went two units, laid 135, so went 270 to win 200 in the nightcap. Took Colorado, figured they'd show some pride and bounce back. That's what I get. That's what I get for going against the Giants. They're red hot. I end up losing that, so I'm down 405 on the season. 94 games in, I am down 405 on the season. Today's a reasonable one. Drum roll. Just one unit, back to the Giants. One unit at plus 118. Plus 118, so risk 100 to win 118. One unit on the Giants today. I figure there's not a whole lot to love about this matchup. I'm really not sure which direction to go. And when in doubt, I'm betting on the Giants. Can you believe this?
Beginning of the season,
it was when in doubt, bet the under and bet against the Giants. Now it's when in doubt, bet on the Giants and bet the over. Incredible.
And the over today is at 14, Coach. So if you, and I know it's going to be another hot and humid one there in Denver, Mile High, but that's a pretty hefty number to try to get over.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But it's Pomerantz. You never know what you're going to get there. He was pitching really well, and then the last outing, he got lit up early. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, by week nine, the Niners have already won three home. They would have already won three road games. You can lock that up.
By week nine, which is only eight games because they have an early bye. So within the first eight games, you've got them winning three road games. Which three do you see? You're clearly looking at right now.
Yeah, it's Tampa, Cincinnati, and then I said I don't know who they're going to beat. The Rams or Washington, either one of those teams, they might win. And then they got Arizona in week nine. So I got them winning. You look at that schedule, the team that you probably don't think they're going to beat is probably the Rams. But but if you look at it, you can't say they're just going to lose to Arizona. It's going to be a very competitive game.
I would like to believe this year that you are veteran and experienced enough that you will be able to exploit Arizona. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't even win at Texas Tech.
Right.
He couldn't even win with Patrick Mahomes, who was an NFL MVP. And now you're telling me he's going to go to Arizona with a rookie quarterback in Kyler Murray, and they're going to beat you? unacceptable. Like, this year, that Arizona crap has to come to an end. Worst case scenario with the Cardinals, you go 1-1. That's worst case.
Yeah.
The expectation should probably be you sweep them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's asking all that much against Cliff freaking Kingsbury.
If you've won three,
great hair, sure.
If you've won three road games by the end of week 9, that's five road games, you should be a playoff team. Because the next three you have at home, Seattle, Arizona, Green Bay, it's a legitimate home stand. So if you win three of the first five road games, you should be sitting after week 9 having your bye at 5-3 at the worst. You should be a playoff team.
Okay.
I don't think you're right. I don't think they will have three road wins, but
you're going to be shot, bro. You're going to be shot.
We do need to start thinking about the idea of ridiculous bets we're going to be making for the season.
Yeah.
Keep your shoes on,
I'm not saying against each other. They can be against each other. They can be against, you know, pregnancy simulators, things of that nature.
This guy's been doubting Thomas. I mean, you're doubting Thomas on me.
Well, that's it. We're done.
I'm keeping it real, Randy.
Show's done. Bonte, Steiny, Guru are up next.
I need more.
Scott Miller is going to join him at 11. Robbie Thompson at 12. Steve Mariucci at 1 o'clock, but for us, it's over. For Dibs Low, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out. See you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Today, 95.7 The Game is loaded with top-notch guests.
And here we go.
Former Niners head coach Steve Mariucci talks training camp, Nick Bosa, and more with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru at 1. And we've got a huge NFL insider announcement on the Damon Bruce Show.
Oh, my God.
Make sure you're listening at 5 as Damon makes the big reveal on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.